cozy traditions feel good, especially this time of year. And that includes your fall makeup look. From lashes for days with liquid lash extension mascara to enhancing a smoky eye with your favorite shade of Brilliant Eye Brightener, Thrive Cosmetics is your go-to for completing every fall look. Whether you want a simple, just gotta get out the door routine or fall glam that wows at all your favorite festivities, you'll always look and feel radiant with Thrive Cosmetics. Plus, every product is vegan, cruelty-free, and made with clean, skin-loving ingredients. Complete your fall look. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/cozy for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/cozy.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary.
Purple toupee is here to stay.
My name is Spencer, and these are more. This episode is more words that were added to the Oxford English Dictionary in March of 2025, and I believe I'm going to finish this March list. If I had been thinking a little bit more clearly and ahead, I would have adjusted this a little bit, but I think we are going to do more than 20 words in this episode, so we really got to get to it. Okay? Here we go. The first word is time box, verb. So if you remember from... Oh, by the way, if you're watching the video, I have decided to stand again. If you don't know or don't remember, I had a fall. I had a leg injury, leg, hip, and I've been working on it. I've been stretching. I've been going to the chiropractor. I've been massaging, and it has been getting better. It is still not perfect, but at the time... I literally couldn't stand for more than a few minutes before it, like, really started to hurt. What I have found seems to be that really all that happened was my muscles just got really tight. That's it. I've had an MRI, and I believe the MRI said, there's nothing, I think. there's, like... especially in the back of my thigh, there's just a muscle that's like so tight. I've never experienced anything like this. It's been weeks. It's been, I don't know, 5 weeks or something, and it's still not back to normal, but it's good enough that I can walk and I can move and I can stand for a while. So, you know, I might need to do a little moving. The doctor says motion is lotion. So, you know, we gotta be moving. We can't be sitting and being so sedentary, but hey, I'm standing again. Woohoo! All right, so if you will remember from the previous episode, we ended with time box noun, which is in the business world, and it's a time period where people got to do something. That's your time box. So the verb, it's transitive, and it is to allocate a fixed period of time for a particular task, goal, activity, etc. That's what it is. I feel like I need to raise my mic up a little bit. I did a little bit, but I think I need more. I feel like I'm slouching. Yeah, also, being in a chair, I had not good posture. So, yeah, we're gonna time box you. You've only got 3 seconds to defuse the bomb. I'm time boxing you. All right, next is time boxing. It's a noun, the action or practice of assigning fixed periods of time to a person or team during which they must work to achieve specific goals. And then there's some more, some dot, dot, dots. So it's the action or practice. So we are time boxing because somebody time boxed us. they put us in a time box. Oh my God, I'm stuck in the time box. It's very curved, this time box. Next. So we had Tia in the previous episode. Now we have Tio. It is a noun. It's an uncle, also used as a respectful title or form of address for an older man. Tia is an aunt or a older female respectful title, and the Tio is the man, the uncle, and, you know, gender is fluid, so use whichever word you prefer. Next, oh boy, I will never know how to pronounce this word. Well, it does say at the very end, it shows the word chokey, C-H-O-K-E-Y, so maybe that's how it's pronounced, but it is spelled T-J-O-E-K-I-E. I'm just gonna say chokey. It is a noun, and it is prison or jail, often used or occasionally used with the word the. So let's just look this up real quick. Where does this come from? Oh, South African. Yep, we've seen some South African words. It's a slang term introduced around 1977 for prison or jail. You're like, sorry, I'm going to the chokey. The people in power were pretty crappy to me, so they're sending me to the chokey. That's an unfortunate situation. Back at that time, there were probably a lot of people being sent to the chokey. Not good. Okay, so now we have Torrija. T-O-R-R-I-J-A. This is a noun. It is in Spanish and Latin American cookery. It is a slice of bread soaked in seasoned beaten egg or wine. Those are very different. And fried until brown. Frequently in plural. Also as a dot, dot, dot. So you would say, give me some tortillas. I would like some tortillas. Okay. We got to figure out this egg or wine thing. And we're, you know what? Let's just look this up. What is a normal tortilla recipe? Let's see. Often in beaten eggs or milk or cream, then pan fried. I mean, it seems very similar to French toast. Right? That's maybe this the Spanish version of French toast. Probably depends on the seasons. Not the seasons of the year. Depends on the seasonings that you use in your eggs or milk or cream. Maybe the type of bread that you're using. It looks like, I don't know, this looks like a very thick, round bread, and it looks very tasty. Then pan-fried. Everything is good pan-fried. Alternative names are eggy bread, Bombay toast, gypsy toast, poor knights, and that's knights with a K. Here it says Spanish-style French toast. But wine says it's sometimes soaked in wine? I am very confused by that. Well, hey, if you have some experience with tortillas, let me know. And I would, of course, love to eat some, as long as they are vegan. And, you could do that. You could totally do that. Yeah, what makes it Spanish, though? That's what I want to know. Okay, next, we have tres leches. Two words. It is a noun. This is in Latin American cookery. It is a sponge cake soaked in a mixture of whole evaporated and condensed milk. Also, more fully, tres leches cake. So, tres leches, if you don't know, it means three milks. So this sponge cake is soaked in three milks, whole, evaporated, and condensed. There are vegan versions of this, definitely. But what sorts of milks are they soaking them in? Is it like oat milk, almond milk, flax milk? If you are I do know vegan bakers who make tres leches, so I should ask them, What three milks are you soaking this sponge cake in? I like this. It is not my first choice, but you know, they also often add other flavors. Maybe the sponge cake is a flavored cake, a lemon, a strawberry, or whatever. Maybe they put those things on top. And I think they're often maybe in, sometimes they're in like a cup, and it's just like soaked cake, maybe some whipped cream, maybe some fruits, throw it all together, and it's all good. Okay, next we have Trust Fall. Sorry, I'm trying to move my chair out of the way. Get out of here, chair. Okay, Trust Fall is a noun. It is a type of trust-building exercise in which one person stands with his or her back toward a partner or a group of people, that's much safer, and deliberately falls that could be the end of the sentence, but the rest of it is probably falls backwards and trusts that the person or the group of people will catch them, and hopefully they do. I remember doing this in junior high. It was like some sort of group exercise, something that we did. I don't remember the context or the reason, but yeah, you know, you just, I think at that time you sometimes stand up on like a ledge and then you just fall backwards. You just trust that they're going to catch you. And when you have a group of people, it's more likely that they will catch you. And it's kind of a fun, exhilarating experience because you just don't know. And we are not normally falling backwards into nothing. And so it's kind of scary, but it is definitely fun. And then they catch you and you're like, oh my gosh, guys, thanks for catching me. That was so cool. Let's do it again. Again! Okay, next we have Truth Bomb. Two words, noun. It is a blunt, forthright, or candid statement, especially one which causes shock or discomfort, or contains a disconcerting or unpalatable truth. Oh boy, you just hit me with the truth bomb. When you said that I am so selfish, that was just a truth bomb. I did not want to hear that. That was a truth that was very unpalatable. My palate could not stand hearing about that. But it is the truth, and I have shock and discomfort because of this truth bomb that you dropped on me. It exploded in my head like a bomb, and it was full of truth. Truth bomb. I wonder if there's like a band or a song called Truth Bomb. There must be out there somewhere. Okay, next we have under construction. Okay, two words with a hyphen, adjective, that is in the process of being built or constructed. Down the street from me, there is a building, a stadium being built. It's been built for a while and it will probably still have almost a year to go. So that construction, that's a bad word to use. That stadium is an under construction stadium because it's an adjective. So we're describing that stadium as in the process of being built or constructed. I don't know. This one seems a little odd, but I guess like also, you know, not just a building, but like a website. That's an under construction website right there. I guess my website, even though it technically exists, it's real crappy, and I have not had any time to work on it. So don't go there. I don't think I've sent it out to anybody anywhere. It's under construction. It's an under construction website. My personality, my life, all of our lives are under construction lives. They're being built constantly, built and constructed and created as we go. Life is a journey. Next, we have unfollow. This is a transitive verb, and it is to stop following the social media account of a person or a group, etc., so as to no longer receive updates on their activities or posts, ... That's a fine place to end that definition. This was not a thing. This word was not a word that we were using, just a small handful of years ago. If I talked to my grandparents and I said, who are no longer with us, but at the time, what would you say the definition of the word unfollow is? They'd probably have to think a little bit. Unfollow. So I'm choosing not to follow a person, follow a cause, follow a thing. It's just I think it would have broken their brain a little bit. What do you mean unfollow? Well, you know, these days in social media, you're following somebody in the online ether of the internet, and you say, I don't want to follow that person anymore. I don't want to see what's going on in their lives. They're making me feel real crappy about myself, showing all of their travels and how happy they are. But that's just what they curate. That's just what they show you. They're probably really sad. But I don't want to follow. I don't want to see their happiness. It's making me sad. So I'm going to unfollow you. Or, oh, maybe we have learned that this organization, this group, this person has maybe some politics that we don't agree with. Maybe they said some things that we're like, I don't like that at all. I'm unfollowing them. They said dogs are not cute. Unfollow. Next, we have unreliable narrator. Two words, noun. This is in a novel, a play, a film, etc., maybe even a song. This is a character who provides an account of events that is deliberately misrepresentative, unintentionally misleading, or ... Let's look up examples of unreliable narrator. Here we go. All right. Examples of unreliable narrators include, I had to look this up because I am not very smart and I am not very well read and I also can't remember things. I can't pull this information from my brain because it's not there in my brain. It's hard to find it. So, let's see. The AI, of course, it's always goes to the AI. It says Holden Caulfield from The Catcher in the Rye is an unreliable narrator. He frequently calls others phony. And despite his critical eye, his own judgment is often flawed, revealing a fundamental untrustworthiness. Pai Patel from The Life of Pi. He tells an incredible story, but may be lying to cope with trauma, leading readers to question the truth of his experiences. And, you know, maybe a lot of times, especially in literature and film, I guess, in all these cases, it's probably for metaphor. If he's dealing with trauma, then he's like, oh, I'm using this situation, how I feel about a thing, to create something that maybe makes me feel better, or use it as metaphor to talk about something different. I don't know. Could be many reasons. Now this one, let's see, we got Nellie Dean from Wuthering Heights. I don't know that one, but there is a trailer for a new movie coming up from Emerald Fennell, which I'm very curious about because I don't know the story, but they're using a lot of very modern music in the trailer, and that is like, okay, interesting choice. Looks interesting. Amy and Nick Dunn from Gone Girl, Patrick Bateman from American Psycho, Brienne Tallis from Atonement. I need to watch that movie again. The young writer misinterprets events based on her jealousy and feelings, leading her to falsely accuse someone of a crime and change the course of the story. Unreliable narrator. Do you have any favorite examples of unreliable narrator? Feel free to tell me. Next, we have use case. Two words. Noun. This is a situation or process in which there is a potential application for a specific product, service, or technology. And then there's some extra stuff. So, what is the use case of this thing? How are we going to use this service, product, or technology in the thing? What is the point of this new technology? How are we going to use it? What is its use case? The case in which it is used. Do you put it in a briefcase? And then you pop it open and you use it? Is that the use case? What is it? What is the use case for this podcast? How are you going to use this? How do you use this podcast? All right. Next we have, I think it's pronounced vagring. But to be honest, maybe because I'm an immature adult who's really didn't... age past 12, it looks like vag ring, but that's not what it is. So I was like, what the hell is a vag ring? There's lots of possibilities that it could be, but that's not at all what it is. But if you also find that kind of funny, then, enjoy a chuckle. But vag ring is a noun. It is the action or fact of wandering, roaming, or straying, specifically in the earliest use, moving from place to place as a vagrant. It comes from the word vagrant. That's what it is. So the vagrants, they're just like, Maybe a lot of them chose it. I don't know. You know, some of them didn't choose that life. Some of them did. And they were like, I just want to see the world. I want to meet people. I don't want to be tied down to nothing. I don't want to be tied down to a job, to a family. I want to see the world. I want to experience life. What's out there? I'm going to go be a vagrant. I really want to do some vagring. Vagring, the act of wandering, roaming, or straying. I'm going to ride the rails, doing some vagring. Okay, next, we have vape. Oh, yes. Little surprising that it's just now getting into the dictionary. Vapes have been around for quite a while and have become huge. Huge, huge, huge. This is a noun. And it is a reusable or disposable handheld electronic device used to heat a substance, typically a flavored nicotine-based liquid, producing a vapor which, dot, 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 which what? Which will make you feel something, make you taste something, and then it comes out of your mouth and you make rings and do vape tricks. That's really the only purpose, I think, for vaping. What I was going to say is that, you know, typically, yes, it's a nicotine-based liquid, so people are getting that nicotine hit that they really, really want. But there's other types, you know, it doesn't have to be a nicotine thing. It could be vaping liquids or actual a substance, a flower, a dried flower substance that could be possibly cannabis. People are vaping cannabis as well. I think those are the two main types of vaping. I can't really think of any other vaping that people are doing that are not those two. I mean, I guess there's maybe some vaping that's not nicotine-based, that's just the flavor? Is that possible? I don't know. But you gotta be aware. You gotta get a reputable brand. There's some real cheap ones just because they're jumping on that vape wagon. And that rolled into town, that vape wagon, and they just want to make a cheap product, and you know, people have had a lot of problems with those. Okay, that's vape. Next, we have, would you say vehigante? Ooh, correct me if I'm wrong. I think I spelled that wrong. V-E-J-I, don't know what I said before. G-A-N-T-E. Sometimes the brain gets confused on the G's and the J's. Not really, but when you're saying it out loud, I have to like think extra hard. V-E-J-I-G-A-N-T-E. Vehigante. Noun. This is in Puerto Rican folklore. It is an evil character represented in carnival celebrations by people wearing brightly colored and richly decorated horned dot, dot, dot. So let's look up vehigante. I just love saying that also. Vehigante. What does this say? It is a demon figure in Spanish folklore that has become a cultural symbol of Puerto Rico, particularly in Carnival. I think that's the proper way to say it. These figures are characterized by elaborate horned masks called caretas, colorful flowing costumes, and often carry a cow bladder called a veja, V-E-J-A, to playfully hit people. Vehigantes are a staple of Puerto Rican carnival celebrations and have deep roots in the island's history, blending Spanish, Taino, and African influences. And that is very cool. And let's look up pictures of this vehigante. Oh yes, these are fun masks, very fun masks. They are three dimensions. They look, I don't know, could they be made out of what is it, plaster of Paris or other molded kinds of things? This one's got like a kind of a big mouth, red snout and mouth, and as sort of angry eyes, and some three horns on top and big like cow horns coming off the sides, and looks like people are just hand making these. These are awesome masks. Yeah. Yeah. But the thing is, they're brightly colored and they got horns. Those are the main, you make whatever you want. Just a mask that covers your whole head. That one's got a big tongue sticking out. Okay, cool. The gigante. Next is, this is Videoke, or Videoki. It's the word video with K-E at the end. It's similar to karaoke or karaoke, but it's videoke. It is a noun. It is a form of entertainment popular in bars, at parties, etc., in which a person sings the vocal line of a popular song to the accompaniment of a dot, dot, dot. Well, because it is videoke, I assume that they're following along with a video. Maybe there's the music video. Maybe it's a video from a show or another thing. Let's see. This is, let's get some more information. Oh, this is a whole scoring system performance. I want to find, what's the main thing? What are the videos? This is a competition stuff. Well, it's the it's mainly popular in the Philippines. What is the difference between videoke and other types of karaoke? It's particularly popular in Southeast Asia, but you can find it many places. Great ways to liven up parties, gatherings, blah, blah, blah. Let's see. Food. I guess, is it really just karaoke? But they call it videoke? Okay. But it's... Anyway, I guess it's just karaoke. Cool. I did karaoke recently. I like to do it. It's fun. And it's fun to cheer people on and see what other people are doing. You really get, I think, a sense of a person from what songs that they do. It's so very fun. Okay, next we have voter roll. Two words. Noun. This is an official list of those who are entitled to vote in elections, and also an electoral roll. So the voter roll is the people who can vote, not the people who are being voted on or voted for, but the people who can vote in an area. That is the voter roll. Yeah, with all this talk recently about affecting the votes and people saying that the votes are wrong and people are doing, you know, cheating and lying on the voting, and I guess this has been coming up a lot. Who's on the voter roll? Are there any dead people on the voter roll? Oh, you better watch out for the dead people who are on the voter roll. They're not allowed to vote. I don't think it's happening as much as they say it is. It's definitely not. Okay, next we have waifu. Waifu? Waifu. W-A-I-F-U. Noun. This is a fictional female character from a video game, anime, manga, etc., whom a person, typically a man, regards as an actual or ideal romantic partner. So, okay, I have definitely heard of people being in a relationship with or marrying a fictional character. Maybe they're on a pillow. Maybe they're a robot or a robot. Maybe they're just in the computer, you know, especially with AI, that's a lot easier to do these days. So I guess that's what that is. Now, it's interesting that the sound wife is in there, even though it's not spelled the same way. Let's just go to this article and see what else it has to say. Fictional female character towards one who has a romantic or sexual attraction. Husbando. or husbando. That is the male equivalent. So yes, you know, even though waifu is spelled differently, it's definitely seems connected to the word wife. While the term waifu was derived from a scene in the 2002 anime Azumanga Daioh, and husbando emerged later as its female or its male equivalent, both terms from the anime and manga fandom have been adopted by various other online media communities to refer to any characters towards whom fans feel romantic or sexual attraction. So it doesn't have to be, oh, I'm in a relationship with this thing and it's on my pillow. No, it's just, ooh, I find that character quite intriguing. I would enjoy if they were real or if I were a cartoon. If I were a cartoon, we would have a good time. Waifu and husbando. Okay, I didn't know these terms existed. I mean, I know people are attracted to cartoons, but I didn't know the terms. All right, next, we have war dance. Two words, intransitive verb. This is to perform a war dance, which is a noun, and it is also figurative. So a war dance already existed, I guess, and now we threw the verb in there. Hey, let's go war dancing tonight. What do you want to do tonight? It's a Friday night. You know, our friends are going out. Should we join them? What are they doing? They're going war dancing. Ah, war dancing. You mean they do a dance to intimidate their foes on the other side of the bar? Yep. The New Zealand people, they got this down. Their haka is wonderful. I think that would be a war dance. I think that should be the new trend, is war dancing. Instead of line dancing, we should go do war dancing as a fun night out. And then afterwards, we will do some videoke. Next, we have war monitor. Two words, noun. It is a person, especially an employee of a government agency or humanitarian organization, who observes and reports on the progress of a war. They are monitoring the war, so they are the war monitor. That's it. That's their whole job. Just report on the progress of the war. How's the war going? Well, there were some dances, so I got to mark down the progress of the dances, and that's as far as we got. They just keep on dancing back and forth. That's the whole war. Wars would be so much better if it was just dancing. Next is war shirt. Two words. You got to wear your war shirt when you go out war dancing. This is a noun. This is among indigenous peoples of Central North America. So this is an ornately decorated shirt which records or commemorates achievements in battle, typically dot, dot, dot. I would say what? Typically people that they've killed? Let's look up war shirt. So I guess these are, you know, the Native Americans in America, maybe in Canada as well. In the Midwest, and here are some beautiful images of war shirts. What I want to see is, let's go visit this website and let's look at this image. There are a lot of dots on this one. This one has some like blue polka dots, and I wonder if those are the markings of maybe how many people they have killed or something. Let's see. Let's read the description. This is a war shirt from the Nez Perce Native American, composed of two hides, one for the torso and the other for the sleeves. This shirt became a canvas for a female artist to decorate. The spots, made of blue trade pigment, evoke a predator and thus convey symbolic power to the shirt's owner. The artist embellished the shirt with fringe, trade beads, and embroidered panels of quill work on horsehair. It's from about 1850. Well, so the dots are decorative, meant to, you know, give the feeling of a predator, it said. It sounds like there's other ones that will, like, mark off different things that happened in their battle. The war shirt. Okay, next we have war. It's the same word twice with a hyphen. Noun, it's just war or warfare or fighting. I don't know who's using this term. Why did we have to double it up? But maybe some other part of the world, they like to say war. Makes it sound a little bit more lighthearted, I think. Let's go to war. Let's do some war dancing at the war. Okay, now we have war again. This is the verb, though. It's an intransitive, and it is to wage war or to fight. I'm going to war you. Watch out. It will start with a war dance, and then we will have a war. Definitely seems like a thing kids would say. Okay, next we've got yo, Y-O-H. Don't forget the H. This is an interjection, and it is representing a cry or exclamation used to express various emotions or reactions, such as surprise, wonder, admiration, shock, or distress. And then there's more, so I don't know what the rest, but it's a cry or exclamation. Yo! Ah! Who who is using this yo interjection? That's what I want to know. South African interjection originating from Afrikaans and isiXhosa that expresses surprise, wonder, admiration, shock, or distress. And it's got its roots all the way back to 1855. So you, if you're expressing surprise, you might say, yo, that was a close call. Admiration, yo, what a beautiful performance. Distress, yo, I can't believe this is happening. And then there's other forms of it. Other forms that are not related to this, just very similar words. Okay, yo, what? Hey, that's what I would say. Next we have Yorkie poo with a capital Y. Noun, this is a dog crossbreed from a Yorkshire Terrier and a miniature or toy poodle. Such dogs considered collectively as a breed. And of course I'm going to look up a picture of a Yorkie poo. I mean, I would be crazy not to. That one looks so cute. Well, I mean, they look just like little Yorkshire Terriers. I mean, I guess I don't totally know. Well, they have Yorkshire Terrier aspects, but it looks like a lot of these have a little bit fluffier fur than the terrier, which I think is that's what they're getting from the poo, the poodle, that fluffy hair. This one's fur is so wavy. Yep, that's the thing. So, you know, they don't totally look like a terrier, but they definitely look a lot like it. And with the, I mean, they're cute. Come on. Come on. Okay, next we have Yorkshire cake. Two words. Noun. Any of various cakes or baked goods originating in or associated with Yorkshire. Specifically, in early use, a type of soft cake eaten toasted and buttered, dot, dot, dot. So, it could be a whole bunch of types of things, I guess. Various types of cakes or baked goods. But back in the day, it seems like it was really just, it says a soft cake, but if you're toasting it and buttering it, it makes me think that it's just bread. Is Yorkshire cake just bread? Maybe back in the day. I mean, back in the day, their cakes were very different than what we think of as a cake now. Let's see, not a single item, but many different types of things. Other names are, let's see, goods from the Yorkshire, including Fat Rascals, Yorkshire Parkin, and Yorkshire Tea Cakes. These are different from the savory Yorkshire pudding, which is made from a batter and served with roast meat. Well, I wouldn't have guessed that Yorkshire pudding and Yorkshire cakes are the same. Pudding and cake, different. Okay, different. Fat Rascal, what is that? It is a classic from the iconic Betty's Cafe tea rooms in Harrogate. The Fat Rascal is a spiced fruitcake that resembles a large scone or a rock cake. Don't know if I want to eat a rock cake. All right, next we have Yorkshire woman. Noun, a woman from Yorkshire. So did we have Yorkshire man in the dictionary, but the Oxford specifically, because they're British, I believe. But we didn't have Yorkshire woman. I'm glad you're finally getting with the times, but it sure took a while. Okay, we have one more for this episode, which is Zol, Z-O-L, noun. It is a hand-rolled cigarette, especially one containing marijuana. I think marijuana, that word is, while we all know it, it's not fully accurate. Cannabis is definitely a more proper scientific word. I think marijuana has a lot of negative connotations behind it. I think it's more Spanish. Cannabis, I think, would it be more Latin? I don't know. Let's look up. I don't think I've ever heard of this Zol. A cannabis cigarette. Oh, South African. Here we go. Yep. South African slang term for a hand-rolled cannabis cigarette. Yeah. So if somebody says, hey, you want a Zol? You can be like, sure. Or no. Or what all is in there? Let's see. Typically, anything interesting else to say? I mean, it could be a mixture of tobacco. So yeah, you want to find out. If you don't want the tobacco, but you want the cannabis, then it's good to find out. What are the ingredients? What are the ingredients of your Zol, good sir? Okie dokie. That is it. Those were all of the words. Yo, we did it. The next one, we will start with the June list. The June list, the words that were added to the Oxford Dictionary in June of 2025, just a handful of months ago. All right. I hope you enjoyed this. I hope you had a good time. And, you know, go catch up on all of the previous episodes as we are getting ready for the G's. Here we go. Thank you so much for checking out this show. Until next time, this is Spencer Dispensing Information. Goodbye.